Hello, this is Mark, and you're listening to The Husband Did It. I almost said the name of a different podcast. I'm on with my co-host, Lindsay. How are you, Lindsay?
I'm doing well. I know the name of our podcast, so there you go.
You know what it is when I was just looking up our website, which happens to be thehusbanddidit.com, I have them all together. So I have all the names in front of me. And as I get older, I tend to, you know, when
forget.
When I call my dog, sometimes I'm slipping and calling my son. Rabbit, why are you peeing on the floor? Now that actually is him.
So nice.
That might be the last laughs that we have in this episode.
It is a pretty dark episode. Yeah,
this is a very dark episode. This is a case that I was a little familiar with, but it was really in the back of my head. Like, I really didn't know much about it. What about you? When this all went down, were you following it?
I was not. I actually have a patient who was very into this case, and she and I had been talking about it for a little while. And so when I found out there was a documentary and we were looking for a documentary, I thought, well, this would be a great way to learn about it.
Yeah, and we're talking about the tragic case of Gisèle Pelicot from France, who speaks English, by the way, in like really well.
I think everyone speaks English really well. We're the only country that doesn't speak anything very well.
Well, yeah, I can speak a little Pig Latin. That's about it.
I can speak a teensy bit of Spanish.
I got through my bar mitzvah. can I put that on a resume on some level?
Sure.
So, yeah, this is a tragic, just one of the worst examples of spousal abuse.
Yeah.
I mean... It's so fucked up and twisted. I don't even know where to start with this one. Do we just tell the entire case, like, which is her husband, who she seemed to be in love with, completely betrayed her behind her back, drugged her, and had over 70 men rape her?
Yeah.
Over a decade.
I think you just did. Well, we're done.
Yeah. I mean, that's the gist of the case.
This is the gist of the case. And, you know, I guess we should tell it through the eyes of the documentary because this is our documentary episode.
So Gisèle is not a spring chicken, and that is not an attack on her age or anything, but she is at a period of her life where she is a little bit older, especially now.
Yeah.
These are the kind of things that are unfortunately reserved for younger people. You know, these type of abuses. I don't think it's very common that we find elder abuse and such damaging. I mean, it's psychologically damaging, physically damaging, emotionally. There's just this ticks every single psychotic box.
I think he's a very damaged man. He's not my patient, so not diagnosing him, but if I were damaged man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think when we talk about these people, we can look at it as though we're authors and we're describing the character in a way.
Okay. I like that.
It almost makes it digestible because it allows me to not think of these people as real people, you know, because a lot of this entire story, the way it's described, the way that this person, the way the husband recruited, for lack of a better word, people to come into his home, it just doesn't seem real. Like it's so Clockwork Orange, like lunacy, that it's one of those things where the more I learned about this case, the more I just felt like, are we sure this is how it happened? Because this is crazy.
Yeah. It is crazy, but we are very sure that this is how it's happened because left a trail of breadcrumbs, and not even breadcrumbs, loaves of bread, I would say, in his wake.
They seem to be a normal older couple. Like, they married in 1973. They lived throughout different parts of France. They lived in Paris. They had I would say a romantic relationship when it's really put on paper. And this is sort of the way Gisèle would talk about it. The way, I really think, I know it's very icky. I know in your notes you point out that it's icky that he would do all the cooking. Like, he insisted on doing all the cooking because we know after the fact. But the fact that he would cook the food and present it to her and they would enjoy it together, and just they, you know, their older kids had moved away, but they were having this quiet time together. I think a lot of people have already distanced themselves after 50 years of marriage. We do learn, of course, that their relationship was
not perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Giselle had a 3-year affair with a married colleague in the mid 80s. And then this resulted in 1987 in them separating and selling their home. They then reconciled and resumed their life together. And then in 1990, Dominique had an affair and lived with another woman for several months before they reconciled again.
Yeah, this is definitely a weird thing. Reconciling after splitting up, right, is one of those things I don't think is super common. My parents, just a side note, divorced like when I was 2 or something. They were like, I can't take this kid. And they divorced. And then my father, he moved to like England and met this woman and got remarried over there. And he was over there for a long time. And my mother just kind of, you know, hung out, you know. And years and years later, after I moved out and everything, I was like well into my 20s, they got together and they moved in together and they remained divorced.
Oh, so your parents reconciled?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So bizarre. I happen to know another man who very well whose parents did the same thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's his name? No, I'm just kidding. Let's call them
out. I think you can guess his name. I think you can guess his name.
I'm not even going to try, but I mean, it's, I think it's rare because it's like,
it's rare, and yet we're sitting here and we each know people that have done it. But you're right, it is rare.
But so they, you know, they did get back together. When did they get back together? Was it the 90s?
No, in the it was in 1990. Dominic had an affair, and so then it would have been after that.
Oh, they remarried in 2007.
But yes,
it was weird. They did get divorced really just for the paperwork. They did it to protect their assets because of business failures, because of Dominique's business failures. Yeah. Now, what business failures?
That's a great question. He was an this goes down a very deep hole. We need a sound
effect. We need a rabbit hole sound effect.
We need a rabbit hole. Oh yes, let's make one. So when they met, Giselle was working in administration for the state electricity company, and Dominique was working as an electrician, and he was also an electrician and also a real estate agent. Hmm. And then I have a little footnote that he set up a lot of businesses which didn't succeed.
Now the real estate connection does come in a little bit later.
Yes.
With another connection, which of course
we'll rabbit hole that later. I'm excited for it.
That adds to this entire shocking case. But yeah. All right. So let's see. Where do we start with this?
Like, so the documentary opens up. It's the fall of 2020, and 71-year-old Dominique Pellicot was accused of drugging and raping his wife, and then encouraging as many as 72 other men to do the same. So for 2 to 3 years, he was drugging his wife and let's call it assault, because that's what it is, sexually assaulting her. And then for the next 7 years, he was encouraging others to do the same.
And he would participate as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's not brought up enough. Is that?
Yeah.
Because we do, you know, it's like, well, he set it up. Well, he was one of them.
Yes.
There's a lot of like questions, you know. So I don't know how. There's like several things. One, I don't know how many men would participate at the same time and how many quote unquote sessions.
Oh, that's a good question too.
But there were so many different dates and folders that we learn about. So I wonder if it was like, because a lot of the men, a few of the men stated that they thought that they were going into like a threesome situation.
Right.
So if that was the case, did this happen like 35 times, you know, or
Well, it's 72 other men.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm saying if he's inviting two more people, well, I guess a foursome. But, I mean, I just don't know. I also cannot imagine the physical trauma that this woman's going through.
Right.
Not just because of the sexual acts, which we learn were every sexual act. You know, there was no
uncharted, no orifice left untouched. Yeah. There was no uncharted,
locations.
Orifice, yeah.
Yeah, orifice. And
that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, it's one of those words. It's like damp. It's like, you know, I just don't, the word just, it's a little cringy, but it's not a better one. But the physical trauma that anyone would have, but also a woman in her, you know, 60s and 70s.
Right. And she was also being drugged, obviously, which is how this all happened. And you've got all the side effects of the drugging.
And the drug. So you wrote a bit about that. It may have been diazepam. What is it?
Lorazepam.
Lorazepam.
Yeah, so, it's another benzo.
Okay. So benzodiazepam is just one of those, like, holy crap, like, try your best, you know, to not use this, you know.
Well, in the 60s and 70s, people liked them a lot.
Yeah. But even now it's used, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still used. It's an old school drug, though. Like, it's not something that you would expect a lot of people to be prescribing now.
Now, and for lack of a, you know, without saying the whole thing, benzos, can those be used safely, do you feel? Or is it one of those things that it becomes habitual so much that you have to up your dose over and over?
It's the same thing with most drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, almost all of them you build up a tolerance to. I mean, I take something to sleep and I started off taking one pill and I take two now. So,
right. But as long as you keep, you know, in touch with your doctor and it's like even change it up. It's just a crazy, I've heard so many crazy stories about benzos.
Absolutely.
And how it just, you know, wrecks people's lives. I do a lot of these drugs. And it's crazy because it's a prescribed drug. And you think, oh, it could be safe, but, you know, not really.
Well, it's a prescribed drug, but she must have developed a tolerance to it because we find out that he began adding sleeping pills to her food and drink in addition to render her unconscious.
Yeah, but she's showing a lot of signs of, I don't know if overdosing her or just using it, like her hair is starting to fall out.
Yeah, but that could be from the anxiety. I mean, the body, there's a book, The Body Keeps the Score. It's a great title for a book. And
this was my other question is,
yeah,
she might not consciously remember what's up, but you know, if you get punched in the face and you're passed out, you're going to wake up and you're going to have some level of physical trauma from that hit.
This is true, but as a woman, can you imagine how embarrassing it would be to go to your doctor and say, I don't understand this, but when I wake up, you know, I have a lot of, I mean, there's physical changes that are occurring to her around, or happening to her rather around this time as well. And now she's going to wake up and say, you know, I woke up and I had pain in my,
yeah, my ass or my, yeah, it's
exactly.
It's shocking, you know, and I guess, but at the same time, if it's happening all the time, which it really kind of, it seemed like it was.
It was, yeah.
Also, she would like turn to her husband and say, you know, I'm having these pains, and maybe he like helped dismiss it. Like, oh, just take Tylenol or something.
I don't know if she would. She's really going to talk to her husband about the pains she has in her, you know, vagina and her anus and be like, oh, you know, I don't know what this is about. Or would she go to a doctor?
Like, I'm one of those people where it's like, like, what do you think of this?
No, no secrecy there. Got it. It's,
yeah, maybe we have no filters in this house. Yeah, if there's a problem, I guess, you know. The entire discussion also gets immediately brought to how did he recruit these people?
Yeah.
And there's a website, it doesn't exist anymore. And I tried to look it up on the Wayback Machine. It just isn't there. It's coco.fr.
Yeah.
And it's, it's almost like a Craigslist for chat. Like, I don't even know how to describe it.
I feel like we used to have something like this in the like 90s, and I, you know, and I'm blanking on what it was, but it's one of those, like, you know, it's, you know, desperately seeking, you know, like what the 80s movie was made about, or, you know, where you connect over these things, and that's great for, like, empowering, you know,
like certainly Lonely Hearts Club,
right? And it's great for sort of self-empowerment and, you know, like sexually advocating for yourself, and that's fantastic. But this wasn't her advocating for herself in the slightest. This was her being raped.
I also wonder if, and part of the thing that makes a lot of this very difficult is that we're talking about French law.
Yes.
And it's not something I know very much about. And it's, there are just a lot of things that I feel as though we would have more protections in the States.
I don't know, Mark.
No, I'm not saying this doesn't happen.
I think it's easy. So the difference is, in French law, you know, there, when it comes to, like, there's nothing about consent.
Right.
It's that one key word. You know, men went there for a threesome. They admitted they never got consent from her. But French law doesn't really require that when it comes to rape.
That's part of what I was saying. What I'm saying, too, is it's kind of archaic to kind of have such an oversight. And this cannot be the first time that it's coming up that the word consent is just omitted.
Yeah, but the way we're speaking about it, it's almost like in the States we require people to verbally give consent, and we don't. We just, you know.
I can give you an example of how this, like how it can be used in a different way, and still, you know, why it would be needed. And
please.
That's like a pimp and a prostitute.
Yeah.
So a pimp could say, "Well, you have to do this," and she's not giving consent. And I feel as though, I mean, I do have my opinions of sex workers, in terms of if they are in that type of trafficked scenario, everyone involved, including the person paying, should be held liable for the abuse that this person went through. I'm not saying sex workers don't have the right to do what they're doing, as long as it's, but only if it's consensual.
Right. Only if they're doing it voluntarily.
That's what I mean. So, but if there's like the pimp, you know, from, I don't know, is that what, I don't even, is that like my Eskimo word? Can you call them pimps? is there like a more politically correct word for pimp?
I don't know. There's gotta be, but yeah. President?
I don't know.
Spokesperson. That's a good one. Yeah.
So yeah, I feel as though if there's no consent, there's no consent. And I don't know if they were like, well, the word consent doesn't exist. And I'm sure that there is a French word for the word consent.
There is. It's just the French law doesn't mention the word consent when it comes to rape.
Right. But why would that be?
That's a great question. Do our laws mention the word consent? I mean, we speak about it colloquially, but
we have charges that include the word consent, like non-consensual
this is true.
Situations. So I'm thinking if the charge is called non-consensual, then it's there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't know what the law says. I'm not a cop.
Right. And then I'm thinking back to like the 50s, you know, 60s, where, you know, consent can come in so many forms, I guess, but.
And
lack of consent more so. Yeah.
And of course, consent is, there's a slippery slope, of course, you know, date rape and all these type of situations where it's like, well, you went on a date with him. He bought you a pizza. What do you expect?
Right.
And, you know, those type of like, you know, situations, there are a lot of things. There were rules. All right. So he would go on Coco and I guess recruit people. He created a room called without her knowledge, was that and people are like, so. Well, I want to see what this is, and you have to wonder how many people are in this room at one time, like how many people said, know, or how many were just like, well, I'm not going to go, it's too far. And it's like, what could the numbers have been had the scenario played out perfectly in his head? Like 500?
I don't know.
And why was he doing it? It's one of my biggest things.
Oh, I have a conspiracy theory about why he was doing that, but we'll save that for later. Yeah.
I'm just like blurting out. There's a lot of, you become really enraged when you learn about this case, because the woman, she just looks like kind of like sweet woman. She's got her crazy haircut, like the lady at the library. And like, yeah. She just doesn't seem to be a horrible person.
No, she seems to be a decent normal person, yeah, a human person, you know, with flaws and everything.
Who was used by over 70 people without any consent. I don't know, like, it's like death penalty to me, and I'm not an advocate for the death penalty. I just feel like this is one of those things where, had he not been caught, maybe that's what we should talk about, is how he was caught.
Yeah. How he was caught. Well, so one of the things that happened is, there tends to be these smaller infractions that rapists sort of get. So the people that who would become rapists, like things that they start off doing, like flesh, like exposing themselves to others.
It's like a serial killer. It's like people who burn ants and stuff like that.
Exactly. Thank you.
No, it has to start somewhere.
It has to start somewhere. And in this case, Dominique started doing something called upskirting, where you literally take a camera and peek it up the woman's skirt.
Yeah. And this is like, maybe everything in Japan is like a fetish, but this is like a thing there still. And it's just it's not legal. And it's just so weird to me that I don't know.
It's definitely not legal. I mean, it's definitely not legal. He was upskirting. He was caught in, this is important, he was caught in 2010 upskirting. Mm-hmm. And then he was also caught in September of 2020, and the police then seized computer equipment from the couple's home. They discovered images of unconscious Giselle being raped by her husband and dozens of other men.
But it wasn't illegal.
It wasn't illegal.
The security guard allegedly saw him doing it at least three other times that day.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, what is going on in this guy's head where he's like, one, I'm going to do it, right? And two, I'm going to get caught doing it, and I'm going to continue doing it in the same place.
Right. Right. And then when police confronted him, he blamed his wife, you know, oh, I'm sorry, my wife is out of town for a month and I've got these uncontrollable urges. I'm sure he didn't say uncontrollable. I'm sure he just said urges and made it sound disgusting.
Is this like he wants to be caught? Like is there a part of that here? Because or is he getting off on getting caught?
He might be getting off on getting caught. And also, I think that this sort of obsession became bigger than he can manage. You know, security encouraged the woman to press charges. He confessed. He confessed to Giselle also.
He said, I did something stupid, and she was kind of pissed, but then she's like, moving on.
Right. Or so she thought. Security guards, they pressed the woman to press charges. He had been using a bag with a hidden camera, a camcorder, and some condoms all in the bag.
You never know.
As long as I'm upskirting, there might be an opportunity. He also had two phones, and one phone only had one app on it, which was Skype, which now makes me super icky about Skype.
And two phones.
Two phones is always sketchy.
Skype doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So that's good. But that's not why. Now it's Teams. You know, that's all.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Microsoft purchased Skype a very long time ago, and then they dissolved it. So what they decided to do is take a brand that everybody knows about, dissolve it, and then call it Teams that no one's ever heard of.
Right.
And it just doesn't work.
And it doesn't work. They found on that Skype app, they found images of women lying unconscious on beds with naked men around them. It should have only been one woman, I would think. But the security guard called his superior and police discovered a folder titled, wait for it,
yeah,
abuse. Spelled That's wrong. What it was titled.
Well, yes. I mean, according, do you think it was spelled wrong or because it was in the documentary, it's spelled A-B-U-S.
So maybe that's French.
Abuse.
That could be. That sounds about right.
It could be, I guess. Abus.
That sounds like how Pepe Le Pew would say it. So that's what I'm thinking.
But he's creating a folder, right? He's naming it exactly what his action is.
Yes.
He's not calling it, you know, guitar lessons, or he's not, you know, he has no interest whatsoever of hiding it from himself or anyone else.
No.
He's, I mean, for all intents and purposes, proud of this in a way. I don't know about proud, but this makes sense to him. Oh, that's my abuse folder. Boom.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was labeled abuse because this was his way of taking back power on some sort of abuse he has suffered at some point in time. There's that's no my doubt theory.
About that. There's no doubt about it that when he was younger, he probably likely went through a lot of stuff. But
yeah,
this...
I'm not excusing it, obviously.
No, I know it.
Yeah.
There's very little, I think, that's redeeming about this guy. I mean, he cooked. It was about it. But he also used that nice...
He also cooked so he could put drugs in the food.
Right.
So.
That's... It's the whole thing. It's just so crazy, crazy, crazy. They also had three kids. I believe
they two sons three kids. And a daughter. Two sons and a daughter.
And that also interesting things come out about that a little bit later. So let's see. So they
found 20,000 videos and photos of different men having sex with Giselle.
Yeah. And there's like several things. Like, was he sharing all this? Like, was he, it's like the people who get busted on kiddie porn and stuff like that.
Yeah. Everyone's always shocked. So
is that what this was for? Like, you know, for sharing and sending and
probably,
I don't know. It
was probably, it made him feel powerful to have this, I'm guessing.
On some level. And he's about how old here?
So he was 71 in 2020.
And this all hit the fan when? 2010?
No, 2020.
Also, yeah. All right. So he would have the men come down the street from where they lived.
Yes.
And he would meet them at like kind of a communal parking area. And
they lived in a cul-de-sac. So this was an area. So I think that's where the communal parking area was.
Yeah. There was like maybe a park or something. And he would have the people park there. So that he doesn't have like these people parked at his house.
Right. God forbid.
He shows
everything
up.
Else is okay. Yeah.
Right. He doesn't want to disturb the neighbors. Well, we do learn one of the neighbors participated in this.
Yes. Yes.
Which while I was watching the documentary, I was thinking, oh my God, can you imagine if it was like a neighbor too? And then next thing I know, it's a neighbor too. So he would meet them. He would give them rules. You cannot smoke before coming in. No cologne. And were there any other rules?
They had to warm their hands on the radiator so that their cold hands didn't wake her.
Right. It's crazy. And if they're getting that rule, like we don't want to wake her.
Well, yeah.
Then she's unconscious.
Yeah.
So. It doesn't. So when people are like, well, I didn't know that she was faking it. It's like, you're so full of crap.
Right. I'm sure it was one of these in too deep things. I also think if you stick your pinky in this, it's in too deep. You know, I mean, these men I'm sure there were some that found themselves in over their head once they realized what they were doing. Mm-hmm. But for others, they probably knew from the beginning.
He'd show up in his like pajamas. He's like, all right, guys, let's go walk up the hill. He's like a feeble old man.
Yeah, he is.
He's like, all right, we're going to go and, gangbang my wife. And it's like, he would also share photographs of her to let them know what they're walking into.
Yeah.
Videoed
all of this.
It was all videoed. And it was weird. Like the way you worded it in the notes was fortunately. And it's like, you're right.
I know.
But it's horrifying that you're right. Because there would be very little to no evidence.
I know. On the videos, he would make comments on like stick it in the whore.
Yeah. He hated her. You can't do this without hating somebody.
I think he hated himself also, but yeah.
The only thing that I was wondering with this is like, why was he doing it outside of just to make the video? To silently humiliate her?
It's really weird. I think he wanted to take some power away from her that she probably had. Remember, he has all these business failures. Mm. It's also interesting. I don't know. I have, like I said, I have this whole conspiracy theory that, Dominique used to work as a real estate agent and some of the victims were also real estate agents. And I just have to wonder if, between his business failures and his sort of loss of face in his marriage, and her affair, I wonder if he devised this whole revenge plot, like subconsciously in his head.
I mean, it's so elaborate and it's so,
I know.
And it's so immoral, I guess, like you cannot be like a spiritual being and do these things and think for one moment what you're doing is the right thing. Not to get all spiritual, but there are, and I'm taking religion out of it. There are morals,
There are no morals here.
No, but in life, a baby falls, you pick them up,
yeah.
You don't just step over the baby. And I just feel like this person is broken. But he gave a good show. Like he tricked her.
He tricked her. He tricked her for quite some time. I can't even imagine what she went through.
The thing is that she can't even imagine it because it's all that her memories are is, like I said, getting hit in the face and then waking up, except it's like her whole body is in pain.
Right. And I will say if there's a benefit of being drugged by lorazepam, it does cause memory loss. And so maybe there's stuff that she doesn't have to remember.
There was one particular person who knew he was HIV positive and had sex, unprotected sex with her.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
That was one of the things that kind of came out. Because out of the 72 men that are on video, we don't even know if that's all the men. Maybe like some of the videos were lost or we just don't know. They were able to identify how many? 50? Like 52?
52. Yeah.
So right now out there somewhere, there's like 20 guys
who didn't get caught.
Who are well aware this happened.
Yeah.
And every day they have to wake up and probably be afraid that, somebody's knocking on their door or whatever. I wouldn't be too surprised if in the future some of these people, take their own lives. But some of them, I don't think it would. They have no guilt. They're actually trying to turn it around that they are the victims.
Yeah, right.
Which is kind of an acrobatic challenge when you put all the information in front of somebody.
Well, 35 of the 50 men denied raping her. Some people thought she was dead at first. I laughed, but that was a laughter of discomfort. Everyone had their weird reactions.
So do you think that, so it's 22 men said that or admitted to it. I wonder if that's like a good number in a way, because I feel as though not a good number, but a
like 25,
number,
like 25 men is a solid amount to admit to rape.
I feel as though I'm surprised it's not 100%. We didn't do it. We didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
But
one guy said he claimed to be the child of a battered woman. And he said this almost as evidence that he couldn't have raped her because he had his own past.
Right. He grew up with an abused mom or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't work like that. Exactly. It's
right. And then someone else said she must have noticed the signs of abuse. Like she had to know people would justify this in their heads.
Yeah, I think what I was saying before, like, all right, so I'm very open, like where it's like I have a pain in my side, you know, like that type of thing. But some people they just shut up about it. They're like, I don't want to find out what that pain is. And maybe she was really like that. She's like, I'm getting old and this is just a part about, you know, it's being old. She also feared that she was possibly had a brain tumor. And,
right, because she had memory loss. Yeah.
She was fearing that Alzheimer's was taking control of her life. And, you know, being in her 70s, I mean, of course, these are fears. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's like, oh, I don't want to involve a doctor. I'll just drink more water or something like that.
something like that.
I'm not making a joke. Like, I just... one of the things, and it gets me choked up when I just think about this, is we said that they identified over 50 of the people who were in the videos.
Yeah, 52, yeah.
And Giselle's, when this all went to trial, they, I guess they could have made this a private case, like where the media was not allowed to participate.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I'm going to flat out be a part of this, like, and she became the face of this entire case, and she walked into the courtroom and faced over 4 dozen rapists who raped her. That's like, honestly, like, it's
moving. Moving.
And it's also, it just really tells you a little bit about who she is. And I don't think everyone can do that.
I don't think everyone can do that. And she literally, she challenged the judge's initial decision to exclude the public from court.
She also
when
said,
the videos of her being raped were shown. It's crazy.
Right. Like, it's, yeah, it was almost like this, nothing worse can happen to this woman. And she's still standing.
Yeah. And she said the shame is theirs.
Yeah. It's, and also the fact that she, I guess, was so public about it, you know, it really gave strength to women who may find that shame, you know, and decide not to press charges or not to pick up the phone and say, you know, I think something bad is happening. I need to like investigate. And I think, I guarantee there are people who learned about this case and then unfortunately some type of sexual abuse happened and they actually had the courage to
come forward. Yeah.
It's a really crazy situation and it's almost so crazy that it seems like fiction. And I just cannot imagine hating somebody this much. This is like one of those things where it's like, well, what's the worst thing you would do to them?
And this is it.
No, this wouldn't even, I wouldn't even do this. This isn't, I wouldn't even do this to like my worst enemy. You know, I don't know. There's some lines I just feel as though are manic. And this one, it's unhinged. Some it things is. I just don't like, and I don't, you know, I don't get. So let's see. So, there were a lot of people protesting on her behalf, which is great. Yep. You know, really got the public involved in this. Viva Giselle, I guess. And
yeah.
Where should we pick up from this? Good to
On December 19th of 2024, Dominique was convicted of aggravated rape and given the maximum 20-year sentence. Mm-hmm. Of the remaining 50 co-defendants, 49 were found guilty of committing aggravated rape, attempted rape, or sexual assault against Giselle. Damn, I should have looked into figuring out why that 50th wasn't. Were sentenced to between 3 and 15 years imprisonment.
One thing I forgot to mention is the age difference between the people who participated in these rapes were between ages, I believe, of 26 and 73 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
I mean, you have a 50-year span of people. What's wrong with men? I don't know.
You
give the opportunity for guys to do bad things, and it seems like they take that opportunity.
Yes, they really do.
And we have almost 100 people.
Yeah. Oh. And they all took it. It was a mess. Dominique was sentenced to 20 years in prison, like we said. And the other 50 men who were convicted of assaulting Giselle were sentenced to 400 years in prison.
Collectively.
Dominique, to his credit, I mean, we're looking desperate here, but did not appeal. His lawyer said he did not wish to impose another ordeal on Giselle or risk further charges and a longer sentence. It's interesting. So, the DNA from the 2010 upskirting, issue was, kept, and when they examined it, they found that the sample matched another sample that had been taken at the scene of an attempted rape in 1999. Dominique admitted to that. Mm-hmm. There's another match from 1991 that involves a murder of a woman named Sophie Narm, who was raped and strangled, in which Dominique admitted to guilt, but there is no evidence. Both of these men were young real estate agents who were around the same age, 20. They were attacked with a knife, sedated, and assaulted. I think this is interesting because, as we said earlier, Dominique used to work as a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And he would have been around the age of 20 at the time when he met his wife. And I wonder if something happened to him around that time, around that age. That's my big conspiracy theory.
So you're wondering if something at that period of time happened?
I'm wondering if something at that period of time happened. Like, he was the victim of a sexual assault and this was his way of taking back coping. The power. Yeah. I mean, coping seems, actually, that is farcical. So, yeah, let's call it coping.
I tend to think of coping as a little bit of a negative word. So that's why I used it.
Okay.
Even though there's nothing wrong with coping with stuff.
There's nothing wrong with coping the best you can. I agree with that. But yes, I wonder if this was his way of sort of, you know, trying to take back the power that was taken from him. I mean, again, total conspiracy theory, and it's mine. I don't know if it might be someone else's too, but I was just thinking of how strange it is that we're all these real estate agents, like the job of a real estate agent comes up twice in a very small story, and there could be many other ways, but I don't know.
Do you know anyone who's a real estate agent?
Yes.
So, yeah, I want to sell my house. So, yeah, and I do too. So I've spoken to him, and actually when we were shopping for a house before I bought this house, bought a different house, I was talking to this woman, Kathy Hart, who's very nice. And I asked her, I'm like, don't you get like nervous that you're meeting people like in a house with, no, you know, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
no, it's safety. It's all you. You're counting on people. Sure. I mean, sometimes I feel the same way as a psychologist meeting with new patients, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I, I mean, I feel as though real estate agents should carry some form of protection.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're, I hate these terms, but like sitting ducks in a way. Mm-hmm. Like you are supposed to be on your best behavior. You know what I mean? Like you're meeting someone, you're willing to like drop everything and run there. Kind of no one knows where you are. It's, you know, not that no one knows where you are, but it's kind of like you're in an isolated house.
You're in an isolated house. You're the only one with the keys to the house, usually.
Yeah, it just doesn't, it seems very unsafe. And I can believe that there are more attacks and things like that than we hear about.
I know a few real estate agents who I can imagine carrying a weapon.
Yeah, I would think it was, I think it would be smart.
I do too.
Or at the very least, like leave your phone on or so, like, you know, like on the phone, like right, talking to someone. I don't know. I'm sure that they have that type of training. I'm sure like there's like some level of.
I'm not so sure, Mark.
I would hope that if you're a real estate agent, right before you go listening, in, yeah, you text a friend or your spouse or, hey, I'm going in, da, 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 make sure if I, you don't hear from me in 15 minutes, you know, check in on this.
Yeah, and if you are a real estate agent, let us know if you take precautions, because I'd be curious about that.
And is that 6%, you know, is that written in stone? Or is it,
right,
we negotiate on that 6%?
Right. Yeah.
So it's, all right, so we go through the case. The fact that Dominique doesn't argue or go say I'm innocent or anything like that kind of makes me feel as though he did want to be caught.
Yep, I could see that.
Did he ever apologize? Was there any evidence of that?
I believe he did apologize to them. I think he apologized to his wife and his daughter because...
Well, we learned in also...
Also, just to make it worse, Caroline Darien, Giselle and Dominique's daughter, was found in two photos in unfamiliar underwear and accused her father of abusing her. And
it was labeled my slut and her daughter.
Yep. Or my naked daughter.
Oh, yep. Really? Yeah.
There were two photos taken between 2014 and 2018.
Yeah. And the daughter recalled having memory loss at certain periods of time and kind of. You know, I don't, I mean, that's, so, all right, we go from, like, abusing this woman, right, Giselle, who you're not related to, right? You're, right. This is not your blood.
No, it's your wife of many years, or so, your partner of many, many years, yeah.
So, you do this horrible act, and that, so, what are you also going to do? You're going to have an incestual,
it's incestual rape, nature, yeah.
Of your daughter. It's,
and his daughters-in-laws.
Yeah, I just don't.
I don't understand it. It goes against nature, and he got 20 years.
I mean, yeah, the guy's like in his 70s. He's not going to make it. He might. You never know. Cigarettes and wine. It seems like all these guys eat, all these guys drink and do.
Oh, it sounds delicious, doesn't it?
Cigarettes and a Merlot.
If only I could go back to being 20 something. Yeah.
Just eat grapes and get those candy cigarettes.
And chewing tobacco. Yeah.
Maybe the candy cigarettes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But yeah, it is. There's a shocking case. I think it's going to be one of those cases that people are going to talk about in 50 years from now. I also am. It opens my eyes to thinking this is likely still happening elsewhere. Like if it's happening once, it has to happen more.
I agree.
So what's happening right now? Someone. And it's,
I agree. But if we're looking at the ups, it is so fucked up. But if we're looking at the upside of this, so Giselle went out there. She insisted, you know, on showing her face and proving that there's no shame in being a victim. And then Caroline has started a group, like a whistleblowing group. It's called oof, my French, not so good. But me endorse pass, which apparently means don't let me fall asleep or don't let me be drugged. And it's against this thing that they keep referring to called chemical submission, which is just drugging someone and, you know, raping them. So it fights against chemical submission and seeks recognition for victims in this underestimated scourge.
Now, this is all coming at the tail end of the popularity. I don't like to use the word popularity for this, of the Me Too movement.
Right.
Which is one of those weird movements. It's one of those movements that I feel very strongly that I can believe most of the situations that have come to light. But because of one or two people who may have made up some stuff, it seems to, in media, discredit it at all, which I think is really wild.
You know, show me a woman who has not been put in an uncomfortable situation sexually, and I'll show you a liar. I mean, this happens so frequently, I feel like. I mean, I have never been raped and drugged.
Thank God.
Yes, thank God. But certainly, this is so common. I mean, and the Me Too movement was, that was what it was trying to show and to remind you that it really could be every woman out there. And I guess this is just another... I don't know. I think I'm definitely pro Me Too movement. I think
I'm pro Me Too movement as well. It's just a, like one or two bad actors. Really?
Okay.
It seems as though because of one or two people who kind of came to the table, it seems to have really derailed the entire situation. And I think it has a lot to do with Hollywood. I think it has, you know, people who, it's like everyone's guilty, it seemed. Like, that's at one point, I felt like everyone was guilty.
Yeah.
Like, we were getting like Louis C.K., the comedian, coming out with like a story of how he just like whip it out and start like, you know, whatever. You know, like, this guy's like not even like famous, really. Like,
and yeah.
He's taking control of trying to take control over people.
Of the narrative, yeah.
And if it like, if it's going to be like this, like CD level actor doing that, then who knows what is going on. And of course, everything that we've learned with, you know, the Epstein stuff. And, I mean, as a man, I'm never going to be somebody who says that men don't abuse, because I feel as though given the opportunity, men abuse.
Yeah. And as a woman, I was around my daughter's age the first time I was put in a situation like this. Right. And she went to a party last weekend and I had to have a little conversation with her about, you know, things not to do at a party. And it wasn't because of her behavior. It was because of men's behavior.
And then she's like, I know. And it's like,
yeah, she didn't want to listen.
You don't know. Not when
you're
like 16 or 15. I don't know. I mean,
she's 15. 15. Yeah. And my husband and I had a discussion. I was like, I want to tell her about my experience, and he didn't want me to. And, you know, the issue was, you know, was mood. It's just, you got to protect people, and you have to, you know, you have to normalize sticking up for yourself, I think, is what it is.
Yeah. And have friends that are willing to, you know, have your back.
Exactly.
That I think is half of it. I think, yeah, I got to stand up for yourself, of course. But if you're not surrounded by peers that are willing to support you at your time in need, like, you need new friends.
I agree.
When will the French realize that we're never, ever going to embrace a French saying?
I know, right?
I mean, yeah, palm frites, right? No, they're French fries.
Yeah, we don't get on. We are not that educated over here.
We like inches and pounds and gas.
Yeah, we're not using. Yeah, we can't do that. We don't math here. We are not taught to math the same way you guys are. Yeah,
give me a gallon of milk. Like, come on. This is who we are. So the Emmy endorsed pass is the movement. I hope it's like a powerful movement. I hope it's changing people's lives, but they have to remarket it. They have to market it with
Don't let me fall asleep. I mean, speak English. The rest of the country, the rest of the world speaks English because they know that we can't handle it, you know?
Just go to Canada. Yeah, half of them, yeah. They're pretty much French is dying up there.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I at least now if I see hashtag me endorse pus, I'll still butcher the pronunciation, but I'll know what it means.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping it's going to work. Also, like, don't let me fall asleep is weird. Like, I don't, you know, it's asking for the help of someone else.
Right.
That's another thing I think that's important for women. If you're going to a party, you got to have a buddy. You really do, right?
And maybe that's what this slogan is, you know, referring to. Don't let me fall asleep, you know, don't let me be alone also.
Yeah. Yeah, don't let me be drugged by some friggin' lunatic.
Right? And prom's right around the corner, and I'm just saying.
Oh, man, I just hope it goes. Everything just kind of happens, and that's it. It's done.
I hope it doesn't go like proms normally go. How's that?
Yeah, my prom was uneventful, really. Like, we went out to, like, a comedy club after. Like, it was yeah. And we all went back to, I went with my girlfriend at the time, and we went with like two other couples, and we all went to this one girl's house, and we all slept together on the floor, totally innocently.
Oh, that sounds so nice. Yeah, that is not what happened at my prom.
18 people. And no one slept. No.
That is not. We were at a hotel. That is not what happened at my prom. Yeah,
that could be fun, too. Like, I kind of brought up, I'm like, hey, why don't you guys get a hotel? And I'm thinking, no, I don't think that's a good idea.
No, probably not.
Yeah. Prom is different these days.
Yeah, because they watch them like crazy.
Yeah. Well, good. You know, that's I don't know. Is it good?
It kind of protect my child. Yes. Keep them from being stupid. Yes. I'll take it.
But that's what makes me a little bit nervous about sending them off to college, especially yours going into the big city. So it's kind of like, you know, does he have street smarts? Do you think?
My son?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Especially if it's a physics question.
No, I mean, when somebody comes up to him to ask him for, like, money.
Yeah,
he'll have 20s, you know.
Nah, he's a good kid, and I think he's got this.
All right. Well, he will. That's the thing. It's a quick lesson. I at that age, I had no idea what I was doing. But I was going to the city all the time, so I was like one of those I learned quickly. But we'll see. I don't know about my son.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We'll revisit this in 6 months.
Exactly. Oof. I can't believe that's how close it is.
But I am confident that our boys are very good people, and they would never do anything that would make a woman feel exposed or mistreated or anything like that.
They would be nowhere near Coco. I'm telling you that much.
Yeah, Coco is a weird place. It reminded me a little bit of Digg. I don't know if you've ever heard of Digg, DIGG.com. It was more Digg was like before Reddit. You would just post articles, like, you know, just articles, and then there would be a comment section. But
that sounds innocent enough.
Yeah. I think Coco was more like AOL, like with chat rooms.
Yeah, AOL did not know what it was doing back then.
I think they did. The problem was that they were charging too much for it.
I still have an AOL email.
You've got mail. Yeah. I still have one too, but I don't know what the password is. I would love to get my original email back.
It doesn't save them all the way back.
It says I can have it if I can remember the password.
Oh, good luck to you.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, I want to read those old emails.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, it's just one of those things in the back of my head. But yeah, there were so many different ways of communication, especially in the early days of the internet. This wasn't even the early days of the internet. I mean, a little bit.
Not really, no.
But kind of like an older guy on the internet. It's kind of weird. Yeah.
Well, he did slay the internet. He did figure out how to do it for his own bad intent. So
and this is like before the boom of like dating, like online dating boom and this type of thing. Like this was like legit degenerate. Like, I don't care who you are. Just come to my house.
Right. He had no concern about his own safety either.
I didn't think about that until just now. I'm like, what? Like, I'm surprised he didn't get robbed. Maybe he did.
I'm telling you, that's why I think it had something to do with him, you know, sort of internally beating the crap out of himself.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't charge them because it didn't sound like they had a lot of money.
No.
Although they kind of look like they have money, but all French people, I think, have a lot of money.
Or they all look like they do.
Yeah. Well, with that haircut, her haircut looks like a $400 haircut.
It definitely does. It definitely does. Yeah,
she looks like the lady from The Incredibles or The Library.
Oh, yes. I know exactly who you're talking to about.
But, yep. Yeah, I do. I really like her. I hope she lives far longer than her horrible ex-husband. And her kids are right by her side, which you have to love.
Yes.
And her daughter is an advocate to help stop this type of abuse or at least bring awareness to it.
Yeah. Which so. I think is great. They're using their time in the spotlight to do the best things they can.
Yeah. But, all right. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for getting together tonight.
Of course.
There was another detail and I forgot what it was. I was like, well, what about this? But I forgot what it was. Doesn't matter.
Can't help you then.
Yeah. I can't believe they weren't smoking the whole time.
Oh, that's true. No, because he told them not to.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'm surprised they weren't all like freaking out. Let me get out of here. Jeez, the whole thing is so crazy. But yeah, that is one thing that the neighbor somehow got involved.
Yeah.
How does that conversation come up?
I don't know. Hey, you know what I've been doing lately? Why? I mean, I'm sure he was bragging about it.
Maybe he's like, well, hey, I saw you going into the house with all these guys. What are you up to again? So he's like, well, I'll tell you what's up. Ugh. If my neighbor told me that, I would call the police. There is not one instance here that I wouldn't just go and quietly call the police.
Right.
And you know what they would say? There's nothing we could do.
Yeah.
Do you have any evidence? Yeah, that's the unfortunate part of America. But I am glad. I'm very glad that the police did take, you know, it to the next step.
Yeah, they really did their jobs in this case. Yeah.
What do you think is the next step for all of this? Like, does this change anyone? Does this change anything?
I mean, we know Giselle's writing a book.
Yeah.
And good for her.
But I mean, with men. Do guys look at this if you're, because I think like if this is something you're interested in doing it, you're looking for a way to do it. If it's not in you to do this, then you're not looking to do it.
Right.
Do you think that this changes the mind of those people who are like, well, you know, I wish I was on that website?
That's a great question. And I don't know the answer. I mean, in my opinion, you know, people are always going to find a way to do the things that they want to do. We've just got the internet giving us a sort of new, you know, but it's, I mean, the internet is pretty old now, but not as old as it's going to be. But giving them, you know, a new way to get away with these things. And same for the medication that was used. It's being overprescribed. And here's just an example.
And that's another thing. Maybe the doctor should have been involved a little bit more. Like, because he was using his own prescription, right? The husband?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, he's clearly, I mean, I don't know if the doctor can even determine whether or not he's been taking it.
No. I mean, in theory, you could have blood work done and see what shows up, but
But he can just take it for a week before he goes to the doctor, right?
Right. And also most people are, you know, fiending for these medications. They're not drugging their wives that we know of.
And it's also 25. I mean, it's not 25 years ago. What am I talking about? It is 6 years ago. It's like right after, like during pandemic time, even. Like, I wonder if it's like whatever you need.
Right. And
phone, you know, like prescriptions.
Sure.
That's another thing.
After that pandemic, yeah.
This all might have happened. Well, he was caught during the pandemic. So it was like from 2010 to until 2020.
Yeah.
I'm trying to connect everything to the pandemic. I'm trying to figure
out what
crimes took place. But this is a crime that actually they prosecute, you know, they were able to bring to the table during.
Well, because it was 2013 and then they caught him in 2020. So.
Well, all right. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much. I appreciate you bringing this case to the table, as always.
Thank you, Mark.
And I look forward to the next one. People should head on over to thehusbanddidit.com. Subscribe if you like this podcast. And that's it. We're done.